Previously on Many Realms, the party stumbles upon the ruined dwarven city of Kirkcone, revealing more about the Stoic Door, Tulip's right-hand man. After solving a few riddles to gain entry, the ancient secrets of this city were laid bare to our adventurers. Despite the history of this place, it was but a stop on the merchant's journey to the scholarly city.
I'm Eli. I play Jolie the cleric, and it's good to be here.
Hi, I'm Jory. I play Zeke the fighter, and it's good to be here.
Hi, I'm Jesse, and I play Sylvie the rogue, and it's good to be here.
Hey guys, it's Jordan, and I am the DM of this campaign, The Many Merchants of Maloon, and it is good to be here.
Let's dive into it.
At the gates of Nen. You're all stopped and you just hear murmured conversation at the front of the caravan.
Can we see who's having a conversation?
Yeah, it'd be Roddy and these two town guards.
Jolie will go up.
I mean, we don't have, like, they're just saying, we're here, Nen, let us in.
Yeah, but Jolie's kind of nosy, so.
Okay.
You'd hear the conversation between the two. It's two quite lively guards. So they're like, you know, we weren't really expecting anyone new around here. Most people, well, you see, they're going north. They don't really expect too many people coming from the south side. Yes, here at the south gate, it's been a while since we've been able to talk to anyone. So, well, geez, are you in a hurry at all? And Roddy's kind of like, yes. Well, where are you coming from, friend? Where are you from? Soleil, Roddy's clearly kind of like waffling with how whimsical these folks are.
Jolie, kill them.
I stab both of the guards in the eyes. All four.
Oh, okay.
No.
Roddy turns to you for like a bit of, again, she's more of a bashy, killy, firm, tell you what to do cut type.
Yes, and that's clear. And I think that's why Jolie is a little nosy, because she's like, well, someone has to be a little nosy, because we have people who we need to get back to. So Jolie, I think, will just be like, we're passing through. Our ultimate goal is to pass through here again and get to Astra. But we have someone sick further down along the road and we're in a rush.
Sick? Oh, no. I mean, if there's, ma'am, I'm not really sure. You're sick?
No, none of us, and it's not contagious. We just are looking for a potion that would help them use their hands again.
What's that I smell? What's that I smell on you?
I don't know. Jeez. Yeah, but I'm kind of freaked out.
Dare I say, Glenn, I think that might be a wheel of the finest cheese. Well, Ren, you're right. I think that might be cheese. I haven't had no cheese in, how long is it? They're going to just...
If this is taking forever, I'll come up to the front and kill them.
Okay.
They're not denying you access.
They're not denying me access. We can just go in.
Didn't we just outrun a storm and we're like sopping wet and miserable?
Yeah, and they're just like, boop-a-doop-a-doo.
Okay, well, we'd love to get settled, and if on the way back you are still posted up, I'm happy to stop by the guard tower and give you a little thank you present for letting us in twice.
Yeah, grease their palms with some Gruyere.
I could be convinced for an advance.
So he isn't letting... I thought you said they were just letting us in.
Just a taste, please.
Yeah, I'll cut off a little tiny... cube, like the sample cubes with two.
If you give a guard some cheese.
She'll cut them two tiny little cubes and says, the second time we come in, I'll give you more.
Yeah, all right. The gates open for you.
Right.
So are these the guys that like flunked out of wizard school?
Like basically, yeah.
They're the Chads. They're on the football team. Yeah,
they're like scholarly robes ripped at the sleeves. You guys go through the main gates of Nen. The road goes straight down as you approach what you would presume to be the town center. Nen is a somber outpost that clings desperately to the fraying threads of knowledge and arcane wisdom on the fringes of the world known to you. The prosperous town is a tapestry of ancient secrets and mystical pursuits. The town is veiled in a faint mist that pulses with a purple luminescence, unfolding before you like a ghostly mirage. The ethereal haze drifts in and out of view, concealing the town in a shroud of some ancient enchantment. As you traverse the cobblestone streets to the city square, Nen's once vibrant populace are evident in the abandoned storefronts and shuttered homes. Hurried footsteps resonate through the air. Those who have chosen to abandon the town in the face of an impending calamity have packed belongings and hastily abandoned wares as they litter the streets. It's a sight that is quite familiar to you just a short time ago in Soleil. Though despite the state of the place, it still adorns a certain whimsical charm, as if all things here exist beyond the realm of reality in some magical and beautiful twilight. The town square hosts all manners of shops, though. Denizens who are seemingly not in as much of a rush as yourself, of course. Where you do see scholarly dressed individuals bustling around is a short jaunt to the north of the square, where the crown jewel of Nen, the Grand Archive, and its large ornate clock tower chimes with the changing hour. You've arrived at Nen, the many merchants of Maloon.
Oh, my character level, it's increasing!
Yes, thank you, Jesse.
Can we get a sparkly effect in there? Whoever edits this, thanks.
Over that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now you have more baritone voice.
I'm level 3.
Yeah. As Jesse has done a wonderful job of highlighting, the PCs have now leveled up. They are level 3. It is a milestone achievement. I know we didn't have combat really per se last session, but they've reached, again, what I said, the end of the known world to them. Who would we say, has anyone, did we even say, has even been to Nen? Except for Marlin has been to Nen.
Maybe Diane?
No, I said, I think, when we were in the forest that the forest is as far as Diane has been, and we come from the opposite, like the continent we're from is in the opposite direction.
When you guys arrive, you pull in and you're checking all of your materials, the state of your wagons, because you've had the first opportunity to really have a breath, and you're getting acquainted with the wonderful, beautiful, mystical land of Nen. Marlin, however, will immediately hop off Roddy's cart and set foot north straight to the Grand Archive. This is a place that, unlike all of you, he's been there before, and he's a man on a mission. You know, he knows that time is very not on your guys' side, and he's going to set about trying to find this missing piece of the cure for this petrification that he needs. So he kind of has already gone ahead as you guys are getting all situated. So what are we, once you've pulled up all your carts and whatnot and everyone is taking care of biz, what do you guys want to get down to?
As a caster, I think it makes sense for if anyone's going with Marlin to find this stuff, I would be going with him straight to the archive and Diane would be doing whatever logistic shit around that needs to be done.
Do you guys want to, like, if it's like you finish your setting up type of deal and then you like just catch up to him like shortly after?
Sure.
Yeah.
As you walk down the cobble steps towards the Grand Archive, again, where you're coming from is very reminiscent of Soleil. Obviously, this isn't a port town, but it's because of the current state of disarray that it reminds you just, you know, a short time ago when you were all in the same position. So it's not necessarily as magical as I said. However, as you do get closer and closer to the Grand Archive, the cobblestone steps begin to become little different colors. They poof with each step. A purple, a green, a
fuchsia.
A fuchsia. Thank you. A turquoise, every color as you step and step towards, and the plumes of mist get a little bit larger each time until you are at the Grand Arc. As you push open the creaking doors, the library reveals itself. A vast expanse of dimly lit chambers, shelves groaning under the weight of arcane tomes and ancient scrolls. The silence within is quite oppressive, as a library should be, broken only by the occasional scratch of quill on parchment and the soft murmurs of scribes. They're working vigorously and move with a grim determination. They cradle ancient tomes like fragile newborns, their fingers tracing the words of power as they feverishly transcribe this knowledge onto fresh parchments. They move with mechanical precision, entirely consumed and focused on the task at hand, the preservation of knowledge. Another group of scribes meticulously loading those precious volumes onto a rickety cart, the wheels creaking beneath that weight. The calamity, whispered in hushed tones, casts over their every action, an unseen guillotine, poised to sever the threads of men's history itself. The library seems to moan and groan, its ancient timbers bearing witness to the weight of knowledge it houses. The flickering candles cast elongated shadows that dance across the shelves like ghostly wraiths. As the scribes carry out their grim duty, a palpable sense of impending doom permeates the air, leaving an indelible mark on the Grand Archive of Men, a mausoleum of knowledge condemned to witness the unraveling of its own secrets so that they not be lost to time. We got the books flying off the shelves as people are like casting levitation on it. You have their familiars flying all around, and it is entirely opposite to the energy that was just outside of these doors. This is everything that Nen stands for, and all of these scribes, all these denizens are working feverishly to try to take all of these old, almost falling apart tomes that will not survive this travel upwards to Astra. They are trying to, by hand, transcribe all of this massive library. It's a huge undertaking.
Wow, you could shit 100 times a day and still never run out of paper. Has anyone seen Marlin? Where'd he go?
Oh, fuck. Where is he? Where'd he go?
I was going to say he's over there and hope that I'm right.
Gotcha.
You can't say no. That's bad improv.
Marlin's over there on a pile of gold and booze he found for us.
You know what? Asking you shall receive, I suppose, Jory. You say he's over there. Zeke's canonically hawk-like eyes spot Marlin out of the crowd. Even for these folks, he's got some ostentatious persona. He also might have been hard to miss because he too, like everyone around him, is nose deep in a pile of books at a desk near one of the ends of a stretch of long books. As you see him, all these other scribes moving around near him, passing by, you approach him.
Yeah, I go up to him and I say, any leads?
Yes, but it's all piecemeal. You see, I don't know if I told you how this works, but how much do you know about the arcane, Zeke?
I make a point not to learn about the arcane.
How much do you know about the arcane, Sylvie?
Pass.
Just looks to you.
Let's call it 55%.
Okay. Bring it down.
Just try us.
So the spell is called Stone's Reprise, that's what I've coined it. And you see, it's like a hunter's stew. It's made piecemeal through a paragraph here, a word here, a sentence here. It's an amalgamation of all kinds of magic, and I'm getting close, but look around. The Dewey Decimal System is no longer present here. These scribes are butchering the organizational system here. I can't find what I need.
Which is?
A first edition, misprinted copy of the Necronomicon.
Can Zeke look around, go up to somebody who like looks very busy, tap him on the shoulder and say, excuse me, I'm looking for a first edition misprinted Nepreconicon.
Leprechaun Comic-Con?
That's the misprint.
I don't have time for this. A misprint?
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? I need it now. You work here, right?
His eyes are like, Realmars, I can't tell you enough how wide his eyes are. It's like take the widest your eyes have ever been and, you know, triple that. It's about that wide. It's like this guy has been strung out for days and days, probably because he has been. He just is like...
catatonic.
Yeah, and he just like pushes past you.
Sylvie wants to try the same thing, but in a hotter way.
Ooh, okay.
Psych, he's gay. Zeke had the best chance.
Damn. Or like any, like there are just tables and tables of them, right?
They are everywhere, yes.
Yeah, she's just like lost, rain-swept gal undoing the top button of the chemise.
Is her shirt white?
Yes. And she's like, please, please, I desperately need help.
You just announced that to the room?
Is this like, she doesn't know where she is. Isn't this like a store? Aren't these people here
to
help
her? So you announce that to the room and one of them comes by and just plops into your arms, whether you accept it or not, a stack of dusty tomes as it comes in. Whether it's, do you take it?
She thinks it's the right book. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So you bring it to Marlon.
They gave me these.
Marlon will flip through them. Roll me Arcana. Actually, you're all terrible, so...
It's a natural 19.
They're pretty great.
It sounds like you don't need us to roll.
You slap these books on, and as you do, the dust kind of plumes away. And then Marlon looks through the books and is like, Sylvia, I don't mean this rudely, but can you not read? None of these are the Necronomicon. But what you do notice is the dust goes all in one direction.
Her eyes are tracking it upward, but her cheeks are red, and she's like, I can read Butcher, Taylor, all kinds of stuff. And she's seeing as the dust and like trying to track where it moves. She knows how to read stop signs.
Okay.
Sale, half off.
I know BOGO.
Where is this dust going?
This is a massive, this is like 50 feet high ceilings. This building is incredibly large, and these rows and rows of books go at least half that height. It's, everyone's got to do the funny, cute, like on the ladder thing to reach the higher ones, but it's going above them. But it is strange, is what you notice, is that it is not like, you know, dust is tends to go and plumes out as you are would be seeing all of this. But as our other people are moving these tomes around, slowly you notice in the air that the dust is all coming up, 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 all the way near the ceiling.
She'll nudge Zeke in the ribs and silently point up to where the dust is collecting.
Do you think that matters?
Couldn't hurt, right? I saw the way you climbed that tree monster in the forest.
You want me to climb? Oh, I guess. Yeah, I can climb. Can I climb up to the top?
You would be able to climb.
There's also ladders.
So where it's going is you won't be able to see all the way that it's going, but it's going at least to the top of these rows, which is about 20 feet high. But from there, it's kind of just like all the clock tower.
Okay. I'll climb up and take a peek.
Okay. That will be athletics.
How do the employees of this building get up to the clock tower part to, like, maintain it?
To be honest, for them, it's probably, yes. It would be, like, fly or probably, like, a magic hand type of thing.
17.
So you go up to one of the rows, and there is multiple scribes all on one of those little wheelie ladders. You don't use the ladder because you opted to climb. You instead, next to them, all on the ladder, climbing up next to them as books that they are reaching for, you grab, you almost slip, and one of them falls to the ground, and they kind of just side-eye, Jesse just shrugged.
They're hogging the ladders.
The books come crashing down and they kind of eek at it, but it's okay. And you climb all the way to the top. You know what? The flat portion at the top of this row, and you can also observe this dust as it's coming.
Can I see anything new now that I'm up high?
You can. You know, I think it'll also be Arcana for you.
I'm bad at that.
But, I mean, this is off the back of a very good Arcana roll, so.
13?
You'll see that all of the dust is going towards a particular wooden plank, and it's going into the seams about another 15 feet high.
If I have, say, like a piece of coal or something in my pocket, can I throw it at it?
You certainly can.
That's what I would like to do.
A piece of coal?
Yeah.
As all blacksmiths have at any given time.
Great. That's going to be another athletics.
20.
It's a pretty good throw. So Zeke spots where all this dust is collecting in this particular notch in the wall and takes this big, hefty hunk of coal, winds up, baseball pitch, and it flies true, hitting the board, and it knocks it loose. You see it peel back, but you see a tiny, tiny little bit of light that's coming in and out, a bit of lantern light as the dust pools in. It's hard to perceive because there's so much of this dust now that's collecting here, but you can certainly tell that there's a bit of light.
I shout from where I'm standing, there's something up there in the library, so I'm assuming I'm going to get a...
Shh! Thank you.
Sylvie, give me a page, but it has to be papyrus.
Jolie's going to look for
old,
papyrus.
Old page.
She's rifling through that stack that the person randomly gave her. She will rip out any page. She doesn't care. What is this building full of books? Is this papyrus, Marlin?
You hold it up?
Yes.
Okay, it is papyrus. And he takes it and he eats it.
Oh yeah. My God.
Swallows it and then waves his hand, points at Zeke, and you start to... float in the air.
How fun.
But it's an odd flight. It's almost like a page fluttering in the wind. So it's quite hard to control.
I'm like flapping about like a paper.
You're Paper Mario.
The attribute I would give this is like paper-like flight is what you have right now. Meaning that you obviously want to go there and you can, but it's going to be with great difficulty.
Okay. Do I need roll something to get there?
Do you want to just be like, I am harnessing my innate flight abilities and I'm just going to think of myself going in that direction? Or do you want to like recruit the help of somebody? Think of it again, like you have paper-like qualities in your flight.
I feel like my first instinct would be to scream and yell, what's happening? What'd you do to me? Oh my, what's happening? How do I... And like start flapping my arms.
I'm gonna have it be that Marlin now is back to being like nose deep in this book, and he's left it up to you guys. So he's asked you to get this thing. You guys need to resolve this.
I kind of love Marlin.
He's doing his part.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's very helpful. I think what we could do, Sylvie probably has like a cheap fan on her person somewhere. Is Zeke like weightless? Could I try to like flap him in the right direction?
Sure.
I would do
so
that.
Are you going to clamber up?
Yeah, sure. Also, I just want to say it's December 2023 at time of record, and Jordan spent the hour before the record talking about the fizzy lifting drink and that it wasn't in Wonka, so I think this is about that psychologically.
You did.
I think it's a plant.
I'm clambering up with a fan.
Okay, roll me athletics.
Athletics? Oh, I think you mean acrobatics.
I'm going to call this athletics. Also, what do we got Jolie doing?
Nothing right now. There's nothing we're going to do.
Okay, hold my ankles.
Sure. Give her a lift.
I did have what I was originally going to do is I just learned locate object. But I think we've located the object. But while they're doing that, I could check if it's right.
So what does it do? You have to know the name of it.
I need to be familiar with the object. So I'd have to look for, I think... Is it fair to say that a non-misprint of the Necronomicon would be similar enough?
Sure.
So I think Jolie's looking for a Necronomicon.
Okay. Let's resolve your athletics.
Okay. This is not going to go good.
Okay.
That's a seven. Yeah.
You start to clamber up, much like Zeke, perhaps following the same path. And much like Zeke, when you grab one of the books that was, you were kind of counting on that one to hold your weight, it slips away and falls. You weren't that high up, so you kind of hit the ground and go, oh. You're going to take one point of damage, and then roll it again for me.
Oh, yeah. Harder, daddy.
But I, well...
4 points.
That was much worse. That's a two.
You're going to start to go up. And then I think what it'll be is you start to go up and you go, this probably is a bad idea. You go back down.
We're trying to get to the top of the inside of a dome.
So what can I do to get there by myself?
You can try to just like swim, but you're going to be kind of flailing around. And it's a pretty precise spot you're trying to get to, but it's not to say that you can't.
I think that's like, at this point, we've tried doing it with help, so I'll try and swim up.
You roll me an investigation.
Me?
Yes.
That's a nat 19.
Great. So nearby, in perhaps one of the desks just nearly adjoining Marlin, you find a copy of Necronomicon. Believe it or not, pretty popular book. And you want to cast...
Is it?
So that
just for curiosity's sake.
I'm familiar with that kind of book. I would like to cast it.
What I want to say is if you're trying to find like the first edition, I'm going to have you do an additional arcane check to basically like try to bend your spell to find this like the attribute that's different from this one. Otherwise, you're just going to be pointing to all the copies that you can find.
Sure. Oh, that's terrible. It's a fail.
What is it though?
It's what is this, Arcana?
Yes.
It's a three.
This is great because I love the chaos that's happening. So you cast your locate object, which I don't care what it says, D&D. In this world, it makes objects glow blue. So all over this library with books flying, familiars flying, scribes bouncing about, blue light from random places starts to illuminate. The book that you're holding in your hand, the one that you found, it's basically mocking you. It's like, detect what? I'm in your hand. As it's like someone turning on a flashlight right into your eyes. Wince back and drop the book, and you're kind of like, you know, you got the purples and the blues in your eyes, and you're like, oh.
So it's detecting all books? Like
it's detecting all copies of the Necronomicon.
Okay, is the thing in the alcove, is it glowing?
It is faintly glowing.
Okay,
national. Okay, let's go to your, I don't even know what to call. It's not really athletics or acrobatics.
Survival?
I think I'm going to do a wisdom save because it's you trying to, in this property that you've never been, it's like asking you to walk for the first time.
15.
Okay. So you begin to wave your arms and initially it's probably quite scary. You wave your arms as if flapping like a bird. And that does give you some upwards momentum and you start to gain the height. So you fly up, but then... you realize you're not really going the direction that you want. And so then you adopt a swimming motion and you start to make your way over to the wall until, with that paper-like quality, you get sucked up too. So you get pulled in with the dust. You get pulled into the board. Now you're like pressed against it because, believe it or not, you aren't dust or the size of dust. So this board that has peeled back a fair bit, you could... peel it back more if you want to get in. But you're basically like Spider-Man against the wall right now.
Very fun. Very cool. I do want to get into a like crawl onto the across the wall to get into a better position and then pull open the tile.
Great. What is your total strength?
Plus two, 14.
Okay. I'll have it that you can, yes. It's pretty much from your coal toss, it's pretty loose. So you peel this board back. And you float in, like, as if rushing from, like, water pressure change into this tiny, tiny little nook.
Good thing I'm a tiny, tiny man.
And you hear, yeah! Get out!
Can I see who said that?
Yes. Yeah. You see a halfling that has basically carved a hole in the wall, and among his feet is a candle that is about half burnt already, and then a collection of a bunch of books. One of them, of course, now glowing a bright blue. And he looks at you with kind of like inquisitive eyes as he backs up against the wall. And he's going, get out! Get out! My spot! Mine!
Hello? I'm sorry for entering your spot. I didn't know you were gonna be here. My name is Zeke. I put my hand out to shake.
You don't look like a scholar.
No, I'm a blacksmith. You are a scholar?
What's your favorite metal? What's your favorite metal?
I like the classics. Personally, I'm a big fan of iron. I like bronze. If you have gold, I wouldn't say no.
What do you want? This is my library. It is no home to blacksmiths. Get your own hole in the wall.
I have some friends who are in a bit of a pickle, and I think that book right there, the one that's glowing blue right now, has the answer to my problem. May we borrow this? We know this is a library. We will return it within the allotted time.
No late fees here.
But it's a life or death situation. I didn't get your name.
Squealy.
Squealy?
Squealy.
Squealy, it's a life or death situation. I hope you understand. We could even just take it down. I have a friend downstairs who can interpret it much better than me, and I can bring it right back up to you.
I don't like the look of you.
Why?
There's something about you.
What is it?
You got anything that you've worked on with you?
Huh? I rifle through my pockets and I take out my little noisemaker gift card and I hand it to him. Not gift card. My noisemaker, like, business card.
Sorry, describe how it works to me again.
It's like so you know those noisemakers that you like can spin and they make a little.
You just have like the card at the end.
Yeah. So the thing that spins is the card and it's on a little stick and it's like on a gear, which makes the noise.
Checks it twice. He grabs the first edition. Places it in front of him. He goes, what else you get?
I have a piece of coal.
I already got one of those. And then next to you is your piece of coal.
Very fine piece of coal indeed. What else would I just have in my pocket?
I want more of that, the things I don't get.
I have the necklace. What's his name? No, I'm not going to give him that.
We found like a weird magic ring.
Oh, I have Carmon's amulet.
No.
You have Carmon's gun.
That'd be incredible. To use that.
I don't remember the ring. Didn't write it down.
When we were looting those tents, we found a person who was all stone except for their hand. Oh, and took the ring off them.
I did found a ring. I just didn't put it in my thing. Okay. Can I give him the ring? Are you okay with that?
Hey,
I'm not here. I'm minorly concussed.
Okay.
you offered the ring in exchange?
Yeah.
So you hold it out?
Yeah.
He snatches it out of your hand and he looks at it. He goes, thank you.
Are you that lady from Monsters, Inc.? Wazowski.
So can I borrow the book?
No.
Then can I have the ring back?
No.
Stab him.
Take the book.
What happens if your shoulder has two devils on it?
This is my library, my rules.
So you will not give me the book?
Yeah.
No matter what?
Yeah.
Okay, I take the book and I yell, get me out of here, and I run out.
Okay, Jolie's standing and says, throw it down.
So what's it, you snatch it?
I snatch it, I yell, catch, and I throw it down.
You throw it down?
You've been hardened by the last 5 days. Day one Zeke wouldn't do that. I love it.
So you just throw, you just in one move grab a book, throw it out the opening?
I mean,
if he's gonna be like that, yeah.
Okay, you take
I want my ring edition, back too.
This glowing blue book flies down. You've hollered out to them?
Yeah. Okay. I'll probably grab it, yell, and then throw it.
Do you guys want to get under a heavy book falling, or?
I want to let it fall on the ground below me and pick it up immediately.
Okay, so you've thrown the book out, and he goes, "My favorite kind of material is steel." And he pulls out a steel dagger, and he lunges at you.
If I get out of the way, will he fall out the hole? Like, if I dodge him.
You want to, like, kind of, like, slap him on the back?
I'm flying. I can just hop out and go up. You can and also... he'll run out. He'll fall out if he's lunging at me, because I'm at the entrance of this thing.
He doesn't think that you will throw yourself out of the gap because he doesn't know that you can float.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could kick off of the wall.
Yeah. If he comes at me, I will just get out of the way, and he will fall out of the thing. That's what I'm doing. This guy's not thinking his actions through.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I'm desperate for this book. Well, I'm never gonna give it to you. You won't believe what happens next.
Okay, so he lunges at you, and you want a reaction, kind of just jump right out the side because you got your paper-like flight.
Yeah.
Okay, that will still be a dex save.
9.
Okay, so he's gonna lunge at you. You see him coming, and you quickly formulate this wonderful plan to just jump out of the ceiling. He is going to kind of nick you just in the side. So you're going to take 4 points of damage. Damn, it's more than nick. But in doing so, he doesn't expect you to fall backwards. So you kind of, he gets you and then is almost expecting to put his weight on you, but you fall out and float where he doesn't. And I mean, yeah, we haven't been like a PG campaign, I guess. I mean, what else is going to happen but this guy's going to plummet 35
feet. Oh, fuck. He's grape jelly?
He is TM grape jelly. as he falls from his little nook, his library of squealer, he falls all the way down and of squealy. He falls all the squealy falls out of his makeshift library all the way down until he is but jelly on the floor of the Grand Archives. And Zeke, paper-like, floats, waving back and forth nonchalantly, surely smiling from a job well done.
I don't think he's smiling from a job well done. As much as, yes, he's a bit hardened, he's not like, I wanted to kill that guy, as much as he's dodging an attack and then the guy
Sylvie
fell.
Will catch you so you don't end up in squealy.
Thank you.
As Zeke is floating down, though, because what was the book that you got?
It was the was it the wrong one?
No, it was the right one, but the Necronomicon. Mm. You see...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You see Squealy go from grape jelly to all the parts finding each other again and coming back together
so
as Squealy.
Gross.
And he books it out of there.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So that actually turned out great for everyone, except for Squealy, but he didn't die.
So you've gotten what Marlin needs, the first edition, as Sylvie catches a floating down Zeke and Julie retrieves the first edition misprinted Necronomicon.
What the fuck happened up there?
I think I've met the strangest man I've met thus far, which is saying quite a bit.
He was up in the wall?
I think he lived in the wall. Okay, give this thing to
yes,
the guy.
Yes, Marlin, we've got the book. Maybe this is just what Nen is like. And you can make Zeke gain weight or something. Here's the book.
Oh, yeah, because you're just holding... Are you holding me?
I would set you down to grab the book, but obviously we don't want you to be in this state indefinitely. And Marlin's probably too distracted to even notice what's going on.
I'll pop the... needed book on the table, and I'm gonna put the non-misprint version on Zeke's foot like a paper.
That's a great bit.
I imagine a Zeke just like constantly starting to float up, and you guys like in conversation just like pulling Zeke back down.
Right now one of his feet is on the ground under the thing, his other foot is floating up, as are his arms.
I draw that.
So you give the first edition Necronomicon to Marlin. He quickly thumbs through it, scanning, knowing exactly what it is that he's looking for, as this misprint happens on only one particular page. And he goes, he looks at it, and then he scratches something on a scroll that he has been basically making this hunter's stew of spell from. And he goes, Eureka! And he tears the page off, and he holds it out in front of you, Sylvie, and he goes, this is it. This is it. My life's, well, this moment's work. Stone's Reprise.
Marlin, if this works, you will save dozens of people. You'll be a hero. Let's go.
Well, there is but one thing. We just need the material components.
Okay, what's that?
Which requires no reading.
Hey!
Yes. All right, cheers.
We just, so...
They close the library forever in triumph.
We need a wheel of Gouda cheese.
Check.
We need a violet rose. And we need 3 tiers of a dragonling.
Of a dragonling?
Of a dragonling.
Like plume?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to make plume cry.
Can't we just make him sniff some pepper or something?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Say it back.
A wheel of Gouda, 3 Gouda tears. Fuck no. 3 dragon tears and rose violet. No, a violet rose.
Yes.
Jolie, do you want to get the cheese? Zeke, do you want to do the tears or the flower?
I think we could probably get the tears and the flower in the same place.
You think Chorley's got a violet rose?
I think if anybody does, it's Chorley.
That's a good idea.
Okay, let's meet back at the square ASAP.
And you are released from your paper-like flight.
I think I flopped down on my hard on my back.
Yeah, I just have to finish some of the finer details, but I will find you as soon as possible. We can do this.
Okay. Thank you, Marlin.
Chorley left already.
Yeah, we're running.
Yeah. Out of the Grand Archive.
You just have Gouda.
I just went to my wagon.
Yeah, so Chorley time.
It couldn't have been like a wheel of Gouda, a stupid noisemaker, and like nothing.
And 2 floating tits.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys know what you want.
I mean, Jolie's is very fast, so I'm already waiting at the square, I think it's fair to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going straight to Chorley's wagon if she's still there.
And then Zeke was...
I'll also go to Chorley's wagon.
Right, because both are Chorley, essentially. Okay. You guys are in the town square. You'd come across Chorley just outside of her wagon as she is trimming some of the vines that she's now draped over her wagon. She's trying to preserve a lot of her plants because she knows you're going into a pretty cold and foggy valley, and she's quite concerned that some of her little babies might not make it. So she is... trying to do some plant mothering.
Chorley.
Oh, yes?
We just were with Marlin at the archives. He's almost finished the spell. He says he needs some magic materials. We were wondering if you could help.
Yes, of course.
It was a violet rose?
Yes, violet rose.
Do you have a violet rose?
Yes, someone in the car. I'll go get it right now.
And the other thing we need is...
Sorry, Plume.
3 dragonling tears.
Oh. I mean, it's not
me you should be asking.
Plume? Hello? Great. We haven't really spoken before. Can you cry on cue? Are you...
Okay, roll animal handle.
17.
Let's go.
Bloom goes, all right, and flaps his wings faster and faster and tries to keep his eyes open like Squealer.
Oh, Chorley, do you have like a vial?
Here, I've got one.
Thank you. I hold a vial up to his tear duct.
I think you managed to get like a tear's worth, but eventually Plume has to start blinking again and looks a bit defeated that Plume couldn't manage to give you all the tears.
We got one tear.
You can take your time.
Hydrate.
Yeah, do you need some water?
Oh, you're just fully speaking. You're not
to it. Well.
She gets 118 is like, I can now fully speak dragonly.
It's going to be at least a day's travel back to the swamp. Mm-hmm. So, and I think Marlin needs the stuff then, right?
So maybe Chorley.
Yes, from inside the wagon.
Thank you so much.
Oh, she was like, this is none of my business.
Yeah. She's like,
privacy.
Plume is his own man.
Sure.
If I leave this vial with you, could you collect any tears? We only need three.
He gave us a great one.
Yeah, beautiful tear. It's just, it might be easier if I give this to you and he can take his time.
And she throws you it's like a feather. Just use that.
Mr. Plume. How do I use this?
What's wrong with you? Tickle him, he'll start sneezing, his eyes will water.
Is that what that is? Is that... Okay.
What did you...
I tickle Plume.
That's fine. Roll me nature. Actually, make it perception.
11.
Also Sylvie.
I just became double proficient in that. Yes. It's a 10.
You start to tickle the belly of Plume, who tries to struggle against it, but goes... and does start to get watery in the eyes. Before you can go to collect it, though, you also notice that this... Sylvie notices that this is about to give a classic Dragonling reaction. It's purely biological. What would you think would happen, Sylvie?
Breath weapon.
You do have but a moment to save your friend, Zeke.
Zeke, watch the snout. Watch the snout. He's gonna...
And you will get out of the way. You already, got stabbed for 4 points, so we'll be kind to you. Mostly off the back of a decent perception roll. You sidestep the breath of the young dragonling as this tiny little flame plumes from its mouth as it sneezes from your tickling. You may collect the tears.
Yay! So we got all our things.
Chorley, did you find the flower?
Chorley comes out of the wagon and is like, I seem to maybe have... Oh, I think... she goes up to you, Sylvie, and she reaches behind your ear. And she's trying to be, funny about it. But she's like, I think it might be... here. And she has nothing. And then she goes... And she reaches into a pouch on her left hip and goes... It was here. She tries to do this cute magic trick thing, but fucks it up.
I mean, Sylvie's in a really heightened emotional state, and I also think she's very kind of moved that these people she wasn't very close with in Soleil are sticking their necks out to help with this effort. So, I wanted to play her so cold and bitchy, but she's really emotional. She just wraps Chorley up in a big hug and laughs in her ear and says, in thanks, I can show you how to do that for real. I know how to do that for real.
Oh, would you?
Yeah, of course. Once we get back.
Oh, yes. Not now.
Thank you so much, Chorley.
You have all your materials.
And thank you, Master Plume.
You have... you have all your materials. I would think that Marlin would be arriving here soon. It was basically an hour he's going to finish up. You guys, because this is what you guys are doing. You guys want to get this finished. Should we want to coalesce? You got all your pieces.
Yeah, of course.
So you're going to arrive with Marlin about an hour later. I need everyone to roll me a d20 and tell me the result.
No modifier on it?
No modifier.
15.
13.
Hey.
Sorry, 15, 15, 13? Okay. So you guys meet up with everyone later on, or at least the people that are around, which is mostly still just Chorley. And believe it or not, Nikolai, Cheyenne, Boris, not going too far from the cart. They're kind of taking this time for some R&R. Everybody else, though, is still hustling, bustling around the city. As you look around, though, and you return here, you do know that Tulip's two carts are not in your little collection of carts. You all come here together, and Marlin is like,
huh? Yes, we have it. We have all of it.
Well, give.
I give him the cheese.
I give him the tears.
I give him the flour.
Great. He starts to eat the cheese.
Scam artist.
Thank you. Thank you for the rose and the tears. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Stone's Reprise. We can... He goes, as Marlin tends to do, he comes between his larger-than-life personality to quite sullen, and he says, we can get them back, Sylvie. We can get them back. What you'll hear is... which you would know.
As Plume? Oh, he's sneezing. Oh, watch out for the snout.
No, not Plume, but one other little critter that we haven't had.
Kiki?
Much. Yes. Unless you would tell me a different sound that's more canon that Kiki would make.
It maybe just might not want to sound so close to Plume. If I had to give a note.
Damn. No, it's modulated high, yeah. Up and down.
It's like it's more rodent-y. It's like...
So you, Sylvie, hear a familiar sound, and out comes Kiki. Inside of Kiki's fur, though, a bit matted, is a stain of blood.
Is Kiki hurt?
Not that you can tell.
Where did Kiki come from?
Somewhere to the east, like kind of just came barreling as you guys were alongside Marlin, but is seemingly quite like... worked up.
Kiki, what's wrong? Fabio, do you know? Is that blood?
I don't know. What's going on? What's going on, Kiki? Kiki? And Kiki will just bolt back in that same direction. I think that Fabio would follow.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So you follow Kiki, who's darting through, and turns into an alley, and you hear,
God damn it to hell.
Please tell me it's Tulip.
Oh, no, Tulip, not Tulip. Sylvie, since you gave chase, you follow Kiki and turn the corner, following a loose trail of blood, to see none other than Port Warden Roddy splaying out in an alley. She seems to be alive and breathing, but she grips her side and is kind of keeled over against the side of this alley.
Roddy, what happened? Oh my god.
It's that bastard Tulip.
Should have killed him earlier.
He's gone.
Dead?
No. I almost am.
Jolie!
Yeah, cure wounds. Wait, how dying is she?
She needs to be stabilized, yeah.
Okay, I'm using preserve life. Okay. Which is specifically for when people are in rough shape. I can only use it when they're below half health.
And does it just make it so, like, does it just heal the wound?
I can heal up to half.
Okay. But, like, in world, it would be, like, the wound, like, you know, cauterizes itself.
Sure, yeah. It is, like... It is specifically for, like, somebody who is in more grave danger.
Okay.
How many hit points does she have? Does it matter?
Yeah, she floated around 30.
Okay, so I'll give her 15.
You stabilize Roddy. This wound that she's holding over her side starts to heal over enough that she doesn't have to keep that pressure on her hand. and her breath starts to return to her, but she's obviously still quite shaken from this altercation that's clearly transpired. Yeah. He tried to do away with me so we couldn't follow him.
Follow where?
North. Where else?
He left the city?
He said he was gonna. I caught him trying to leave. Trying to turn tail. We can't take that hit with everything that they have. All the food, all the materials. We can't take damage like that to the caravan. And he hired some locals, another caravan, a couple more wagons, a couple more mercenaries, and tried to set off. I tried to stop him. It was just too much.
Sorry he hurt you, and it's not great that we lost that stuff, but frankly, good riddance. He hurt more than he helped Roddy, you know that.
For the first time, I think that you'd see Roddy is kind of without words. After all, Roddy is the Port Warden of Soleil, and you guys are a far, far cry away from Port. This is a world unknown to her, and especially continuing on ahead is unknown. Roddy is without answers. In this moment, I think that she's lost a bit of hope and is turning to you, who have grown on this adventure and have been by her side and aided her in being this leader of this caravan. But with the departure of less so Tulip himself, but Tulip and his resources and his manpower has left her, and not to mention obviously the wound that she just incurred has left her beside herself.
So I think maybe it's like Jolie is still sort of finishing up her work on Roddy, and Sylvie kneels down and she says, I know you were counting on Tulip's aid, and I can't say I was with you there, Roddy, but you've asked us many times to have faith in your leadership, and now I think it's time to ask you to have some faith in us. Do you know what else happened today in Nen? Zeke risked his life performing incredible feats of physical prowess. Jolie used incredible magic to uncover arcane secrets in some kind of big paper house. Marlin was able to uncover the pathway of a spell that could save the lives of people who have been turned to stone. We are powerful and we're capable. We can do it. We don't need Tulip. I don't know that we ever did.
Still give me, I think, a performance. Wonderful performance it was. It's more about for her herself.
Yeah, sure. I believe it, but that's separate to whether or not Roddy does. That is a 26.
Holy shit.
I don't get to make charisma rolls very often because we're in the fucking woods, but I'm actually very good at them.
Roddy will turn to you and I think she opens her mouth to speak, but nothing comes out. I think this stoic woman who's had to be strong for the entirety of this journey, from literally fleeing this hometown that she was the guardian of, and see to it that this ragtag group makes it to this promised land, has caught up with her in this moment. Your speech, I think, is inspiring to her, to the point that though she can't find the words, I think that just tears form in her eyes for probably the first time that any of you have seen. She's been, you know, tough hammer lady for a long time, and I think in this, the end of the known world to you guys, in this small little alleyway, I think you see Roddy for the first time. She stands up after a moment, I think wordlessly starts to head back to the caravan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Many Realms. This has been our 16th installment of the Many Merchants of Muldoon. If you want to join us for the whole ride across Maloon, you can subscribe to our podcast. You can learn more about us by following us on Twitter or Instagram at The Realms Cast, or if you want to support us financially, you can follow us on patreon.com/manyrealms. That's patreon.com/manyrealms. See you next time.